Several years ago, I saw a special on the A&E network, and the whole show was leading up to, through a series of names, leading up to the most influential person of the last millennium. And I kept trying to guess, and you know, they would work their way on up the list, and the person I would choose would be off the list already. And finally, they got to the number one most influential person of the millennium, and it was Gutenberg, the man who invented movable type and allowed the rest of the world to have access to reading and books. So his choice was not about one person whose one accomplishment had an impact on one time or one field, but someone whose accomplishment made it possible to share all other accomplishments throughout time and space. That access to the printed word ties the past to the present to the future. The things that we discover today, we can leave for others to use in the future because of the printed word, largely. We have a similar concept in Christian spirituality, and it is the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh also ties past to present to future. There is a place in the book of Revelation that says this: "Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is yet to come." That one is Jesus. So Scripture tells us that Jesus is timeless and yet existed in time as a human being as we do. Our liturgy later in the Eucharistic prayer even says he lived and died as one of us. And so we arrive today on this festive day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and we begin to hear stories and messages about how the body of Christ, the church, becomes timeless, how it will go on, not only about its chronological progression, but also about its going out to all manner of persons seeking unity in diversity. The story of the body of Christ transcends time and human differences. The idea of oneness through all times and all nations is the message of Pentecost. Often in churches, you will hear the reading that Randy just read. You will hear it read in many different languages. But we don't do that here because I don't think that that's really what the experience of Pentecost is about or what it felt like in its own time. The Pentecost reading says that we each hear in our own native language. Not one person there heard a foreign tongue. And yet, it was not all spoken in one language. So God let each person speak in his own language, while each listener heard in his or her own language. Each of us speaks in our own language, but we're not required to all speak the same one. We are asked to have unity amid our diversity. When we think of biblical stories of language, many people think of the story of the Tower of Babel as the definitive story of Scripture about language. But in actuality, this New Testament story of Pentecost is the one that tells us Christians how we are to relate to others who are not like us. If you remember the story of the Tower of Babel, the people built a tower so that they could reach to the heavens. They were very arrogant and thinking they could reach God and get closer to God. And God became angry and separated the people by making them speak different languages. One biblical scholar says of this story, though, that sharing one language is not natural, it is imposed. That it is a condition of oppression by an empire. He says that if everyone speaks on language, and in times when they did, it was a sign that evil powers oppressed the peoples and took away their culture and their language and their ways. I'm not all that sure about his interpretation of the Tower of Babel, but I do believe that it is very biblical, that God wants us to have unity with one another and yet retain our individual gifts and our breadth and our linguistic and cultural richness. After all, the book of Acts speaks of devout Jews from every nation under heaven. Every nation is under heaven. Combined with the Pentecost story, a lot of scripture tells me that we are to retain our diversity, our languages, yet somehow find unity with one another. The question becomes, how can people so different, who metaphorically and literally speak different languages, find unity? The gospel begins to tell us that we hear in the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. We hear in oneness because we are moved and joined by the Spirit of God. Romans also tells us all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. If we follow the Spirit of truth yet retain our diversity, we have the unity and variety shown here on Pentecost. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians, one which we use in our baptismal service, which calls us to be one, but notes that there are a variety of gifts and ministries. So somehow we are called to be ourselves, distinct from one another, and yet be one under God. In Christ, we are called to unity of spirit while living out our individual gifts and our unique lives. 1 Corinthians says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone." If you go back to the very early history of the church, one of the major controversies was whether the church should require Gentiles who wanted to become followers of Jesus, whether the church would require those Gentiles to be circumcised and to follow all of the guidelines that the Jewish people followed in order to be admitted to the way. The question was, do we need to make everyone like us or allow these very different Gentiles to come in without circumcision and without adhering to the Jewish law? The decision was to welcome all without requiring them to adhere to all of our ways. There is an even more mature expression of this welcoming of diversity in Galatians. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, these are powerful categories in that time and in our own. To me, the upshot of all these places in Scripture, these passages, is that we are not called to run off or exclude persons who are not like us, ones who don't speak our language. That's not just the American way of the melting pot. It is the Christian way of being one in Christ Jesus. If we are one in God, we don't need to insist that others be like us in language or culture or ethnicity or any other way. We don't need to exclude people who are unlike us. If we are one in God, we are able to find not only unity, but deeper and broader wisdom and richness because of our differences. In the spirit of unity given to us by Jesus Christ, each of us will hear in our own language, not because all speak one language, but because God has given us the spirit to hear and to understand the other. What allows us to endure as a church and as individual human beings is that we retain the blessing of our diversity and our unity in God. Our access to the Word, it is much more powerful than Gutenberg's printed word, but like that, it is accessible to all. But this is the Word made flesh, Jesus. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Words printed and spoken and lived can tie the past to the present, to the future. Words can unite every nation under heaven. It is to our benefit and to the world's benefit that we remember that all nations are under heaven. Respecting others means we have constant interaction, a constant flow of opinion and wisdom, and constant growing in the spirit of truth given to us by God. The Word, Jesus, one who was and who is to come. In him all of time is tied together, all nations under heaven have access to God. In him we can embrace our God-given differences and treasure our oneness nonetheless, because we have access to the Word. We are given really only one commandment, to love. We are to love. We are to be one. We are not called to be all alike, to insist that others be like us. God will let them speak in their own language. And if we have the heart of love, we will hear them in our own. Amen. Thank you.